In the beginning, there was rest. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Right after human beings show up in the creation account, something special happens. God declares a holiday. It's a day of rest, cessation from activity, calm. And oh, do we need that today? Our series on how to live effectively wouldn't be complete without some possibly life-saving advice. Take a break. But to your rest and relaxation, add a third R, reflection. Here's Jim.
I want to talk to you today about your sabbatical. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, look with me please at verses 28, 29, and 30. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now listen to these verses from Mark's Gospel. "Then the apostles gathered back to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves with Jesus.'" Road rage, abused mates, tortured children, exploding divorce rates, mountains of pills consumed to get us started in the morning and another mountain to put us to sleep at night. A large percentage of our citizens smitten with a disease that makes it impossible for them to go to sleep. And they prowl through insomnia. Because of the dangers involved, pilots and truck drivers have been regulated. They can only be on the road or piloting a plane a certain percentage of the hours that they have to work each week. Studies concerning their habits and responses have led the experts to conclude that in addition to exercise and food and air, we need sleep. In the absence of appropriate sleep, our immune systems shut down. We become disoriented and irritable. Our minds cannot function accurately. And we become stress-filled and anxious. We need sleep. 24/7. May be the motto of our generation. Living at the cutting edge is taking its toll. We are a citizen, a group of people pursuing with passion what is destroying us from within. Reading about this phenomenon, I wondered if God had anything to say to his people about the subject of rest. And I discovered that he does. If you looked with me into the early chapters of the book of Genesis, you will find that there, before sin entered the world, God established a pattern. 6 days, we read, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. Then we read, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. God rested. If you go look at God's day timer, his schedule, if you could have seen it before he began the 6 days of creation and started the sequence we call time, you would have noted that God arranged his time and his activities in order to honor the circling or the rotation of the earth. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. To this day, we still mark our progress through life by the rotation of the earth and by the orbit of the earth around the sun. So we talk about days, we talk about weeks, we talk about months, we talk about years. There is a rhythm that God has put in place. It's an intended pattern for all of us to follow. God certainly was not exhausted after his 6 days of work. Matter of fact, the scripture indicates that he spent a portion of his rest reflecting upon all that he had made and evaluating it and saying it's very good. Reflection, evaluation is a part of what God intends us to do on a weekly basis, a sabbatical basis. And God didn't just give us his habit, and he didn't just tell us it's a good idea. He sanctified, he dedicated 1 day in seven to rest. I find it fascinating that while God's rest day was the seventh of the creative week for him, in reality, it was the first day that Adam and Eve enjoyed existence in the garden. They began their experience of life, their first day, enjoying the rest and fellowship of God, reflecting upon all that God had made and how all of that was a gift for them to enjoy. So Adam and Eve began life, human life, on a day of rest. That's the pattern. Now, if you think just a bit about that pattern, each day would have 24 hours. On average, there would be 12 hours of darkness and 12 hours of light. God used the light hours to create. The dark hours, there's no record that he created. Setting again a pattern for Adam and Eve and you and me, that God wanted us to spend a part of each day resting, sleeping. Now, if you take 6 days, and if you take 12 hours a day, that gives us, what, 72 hours that we can be busy in the daylight hours working. And if you want to take another 4 hours, dawn, evening, and push your daily commitment up to 16 hours a day, that's a commitment then of what, 96 hours a week. And in that pattern, God shows us that he, though he didn't get tired, though he didn't get physically worn out, that God himself knew we would need the rhythm and the regulation of time. So God set that pattern. And then God laid out the principle of that pattern in Exodus chapter 20 when he responded to his people. His people said, "Tell us what you want us to do. We'll do it." And God responded to that in Exodus chapter 20 at Mount Sinai, giving to them what we have called the Ten Commandments and all the commentary as to how to apply those Ten Commandments. The fourth of those commandments, God said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Note that. The essential requirement of the seventh day was that it be holy, that it be remembered or dedicated as consecrated, as being distinct and different from the other 6 days. Hallowed. The same word that we use when we pray, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We could also pray, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy day." And in God's response to man's inquiry, "How do you want us to live?" God said, "I want you to sanctify a day. One day out of every seven, I want you to keep it holy. 6 days, labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It belongs to God. It's set aside for you to recognize and reflect upon your relationship with God, that you are made in His image, after His likeness, that the highest goal of your existence is to know God's mind and do His will, to reflect upon His goodness and grace to you, His countless benefits to you, to strengthen your relationship with Him, to evaluate how your work, how your actions during the other 6 days are in harmony with and give God praise and glory, or are out of sync with God's purpose, God's plan, God's program for our world. It's a day that belongs to God. On that day, you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." He blessed it. There is a blessing for those who will enter into God's pattern, who will see the principle that God has here set forth, that He is Lord God of all things, He made all things, and that He is the controller of all things, and that we are a part of His creation, and we will be blessed if we take a sabbatical rest. Now, when God came into the world, the man we call Jesus, He was constantly challenged by His activities on the Sabbath day. By that time, the law of Moses, which we just read, had been carefully analyzed and had basically been supplanted by a lot of human regulations. Sincere, perhaps, but just hundreds of regulations that had bubbled up as men had tried to specify what rest God required. And instead of the seventh day being a day of rest and blessing, it had become a burden, a work, a legal mandate. It had become a wearisome thing to those who were caught under its bondage. No longer was it a day of rest, it was a day of regulation. And you remember, Jesus got into all kinds of trouble because He refused to live under the superstructure of the regulations men had made as they had attempted to define what it meant to rest on the Sabbath. For instance, the Lord Jesus Christ healed on the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus mixed mud and put it on a man's eyes. A man who had been born blind sent him to the pool of Siloam. He washed, came back seeing. The technocrats were highly incensed that Jesus would do this on the Sabbath. On another occasion, he found a man who had been sitting for years by the pool of Bethesda. And he said, if you want to be healed, take up your bed and walk. The man took up his bed, walked. He ran into the technocrats and they said, how come you're carrying your cot? This is the Sabbath. Now, don't think of him as carrying an army cot. Think of him as carrying a bedroll. That's far more accurate picture. And he said, well, the person who interrupt my years of infirmity and healed me said, pick up your cot and walk. So I'm picking up my cot and walking. And they were incensed. And when they found out it was Jesus, they actually sought to kill Jesus because in their view, he had broken the Sabbath. In all of this conversation, Jesus tells us a number of things where he corrects the view of the day of rest during his experience on earth when he, the God who had originally created in 6 days, and the same God who had spoken the law at Mount Sinai, that same God, now in human flesh, is living under the terms of his own covenant. And he tells people, listen, the priests in the temple do things that engage work, and yet they do not break the Sabbath. He said that it is lawful on the Sabbath to save life, not to destroy it. And those who are engaged in life-saving activities should be encouraged by that, that the seventh day does not mean that the hospital shut down and all of that. That ministry continues on. Now, those within that ministry need to find another day in the week to rest. He mentioned that on the Sabbath, you take your oxen, your donkey from the stall, and you take them out to water it, and that's not a violation of the Sabbath law. He said that on the Sabbath, in order to keep the law of Moses, you will circumcise a young baby boy, and that doesn't violate the Sabbath. He healed a man and in explanation said, if your ox or your donkey fell into a crevice on the Sabbath, you wouldn't leave the animal there in distress until the next day. You would deliver that animal from falling in, and that would not be considered a violation of the Sabbath. And then he wrapped this whole thing up by saying that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God's intention in the practice of the Sabbath is for your good, for your benefit. God never intended that it would become a terrible burden, an oppressive work, a restrictive limitation. I can remember as a child growing up, my parents thought that Sunday was the day of rest. And every Sunday afternoon, my parents would take a nap. I can remember thinking, what a waste of a good afternoon. And my brother and I would go through all these debates and shenanigans as to what was allowed and not allowed. Were we allowed to pass the football? Well, yeah. Were we allowed to play a football game? Well, no. Were we allowed to shoot baskets? Well, yeah. Were we allowed to have some guys over and play basketball? Well, no. Back and forth and back and forth. What my parents were trying to teach me and my brother is that for them, Sunday was their day of rest. Now, on the Sabbath day, in Jesus' day, they read the scriptures in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they discussed and preached and taught the meaning of those scriptures on the Sabbath day, and that was not a violation of the Sabbath. What Jesus was doing in his life was extricating the principle of one day and seven dedicated to God for your rest, for your recreation, for your personal recovery, for your reflection, for your separation. You are not an animal. You are man. And the most potent and powerful gift God gave you was not the muscles of your arms and legs by which you do labor, but the brain and heart by which you can know God and think and enjoy Him forever. It was in the midst of this terrible struggle that Jesus one day said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He was saying to the people who were pressed by burdens, by religious obligations, by restrictions and restraints, whose lives were so minutely managed by the legalists, who were taking what God intended to be a 1/7th day of rest and making it a religious vice. He was saying to them, "Come to me. I am the one who spoke those regulations. I am the one who set the pattern. I am the one who made you in my image. Come to me. I will give you rest." Now, there is a deeper meaning to that. The deeper meaning is that salvation and rest and peace with God comes through Jesus Christ, not through keeping any good work or keeping any religious obligation. The law was not given as a means of you and me to earn salvation. It was not given as a ladder by which we could climb rung by rung up and merit God's favor. It was rather given as a statement of principles to reveal the ideal, knowing that none of us could ever keep it. None of us.
Some people are actually proud of having no time to relax and escape the grind, as if the world wouldn't go on without their efforts. And some go to the other extreme with maybe one day of work followed by 6 days off. The pattern God instituted is the one that will succeed. Jim calls this sermon "Come Apart" or "Come Apart." We'll hear the finale tomorrow. It's the last piece in our series called "How to Live Effectively, Volume 2. We're offering the 12 sermons in a CD album for your gift of $42 or more. As always, the solo CD can be yours for a donation of $7 or more. Ordering information coming up. It's the middle of June, right at the 2-week mark in our countdown to the end of the fiscal year. If you've had a notion to help Right Start, but you've just been distracted by other things, all of us can relate to that. But if you would put your gift and your prayers on the front burner right now, we'd appreciate it. To join our wonderful family of supporters, you can mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And come to our website at rightstartradio.org. We've been uploading radio shows for years, so you can play those right from your computer. Or we can send new programs to you each day if you'll subscribe to the Right Start podcast on iTunes. You can donate securely, email us, listen to complete sermons and more at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Happy Father's Day, dads. What a crucial role you're playing in your family and in our world. Thank you. And everyone, please join us on Monday for a fresh week and a right start.